First Chronicles chapter 13, beginning at verse 7. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzza and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came into the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzza put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen was stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzza, and he smote him, because he had put his hand to the ark, and he died before God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzza, for that place is called Perez Uzza to this day. Move over to chapter 15. Beginning with verse 25 through 28. And David and the elders of Israel and the captain over thousands went to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and of the house of Abel-Edom with joy. And it came to pass, when God helped the Levites that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and with all the Levites that bare the ark, and the singers, and the chenamites, and masters of the song, with the singers. David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with sound of the cornet, and with trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come before you, Lord, and to break the bread of life. Lord, help me today. Lord, this is such an important lesson that we should grasp today. Help us, Lord, open up the hearts and the minds of the people, Lord, that they might receive what is in this word today. And Lord God Almighty, I pray, Lord, touch me that I not add to or take away from this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We're at a time here where you find a blessing and you find a curse. Amen. David had determined in his heart that he was going to take the ark of God back to Jerusalem, where he had built a tent for it. And we'll get into some of that, but he had determined that in his heart. You know, we can determine a lot of things in our heart, but they still have to go according to God's plan and God's word. But his heart was good. Amen. But how he moved wasn't in the plan of God. So God didn't bless that. Matter of fact, a man lost his life because of how they was moving the ark of God. Now, I don't know how many of you know what the ark of the covenant was. Amen. But it was the center of the Old Testament. It was center of the ceremonial laws. Everything pointed toward that covenant, that ark of God that was in it, was the tables of the Ten Commandments that God had given Moses on Mount Sinai. But that wasn't what gave this. What gave this ark its tremendous power, amen, because it was an embodiment of God's presence. Without that, it's just a box. It's just a box, amen, layered with gold, and that's all it would be. But God's embodiment was in that, because this, in this box, amen, was God's plan. It was God's covenant, amen, to the children of Israel. And we'll get to this place now. We say, well, what's happening here? How come David is moving this ark? Amen. In the Bible, you'll find out it's not to be moved. And it's certainly not to be put on a cart or anything else. It was to be moved by the Levites, on the shoulders of the Levites, and that's how it had to be moved. And how it got to the place where it's at today, you have to go back to Eli, which was a priest of the tabernacle at that time. Matter of fact, he was the last priest of the tabernacle. There was no other priest for that tabernacle at that time, because the Philistines had come up against Israel at that time, and it wasn't going good. They had lost about 4,000 men. So they sent back to Eli to send the ark. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, providing God said, take the ark. Amen. But it had been used before, because when they marched around Jericho, the ark was with them. When they stepped into the waters of Jordan, the ark was with them. So it wasn't nothing unheard of. Amen. But at that time, Eli had 2 evil sons, and they had degraded the things of God. They had had their way with the women at the gates of the temple, at the tabernacle. So God wasn't pleased with Eli. He sent a prophet to Eli, and he rebuked him because of his sons, and him because he didn't control them. So at this time, the tabernacle had been in effect for 369 years at this time. Sometimes familiarity breeds contempt. Sometimes we get too comfortable with the things of God. Sometimes we just take them for granted. Sometimes we go to church if we want to. If we don't. We just do whatever we feel is right in our own mind. But this couldn't happen, because this Ark of the Covenant, that was the center of everything in the Old Testament, It was the center of all the ceremonial things of God, just like Christ is the center today. And this was a type of Christ. And I don't know if you know anything about how that tabernacle was built, but if you want to, you can envision a football field. It was squared like that, and it had a fence around it that was white. It had white sheets all the way around it until you get to the gate, and then it had different colors. But in it, the gate was always open because they could always come. See, that the door of Christ is always open. And as soon as you walk into it, you have the brazen altar. That's where they did all their sacrificing at. See, everything is pointing to the Ark of the Covenant. And then you have the laver where they washed everything. We come into repentance. We take on Christ's sacrifice. Then we're washed, amen, in water baptism. It's all types and shadows of what we see today. And inside the place, it's called the outer court. And those two was in the outer court. And then you had a tent. And it had two chambers. One chamber, amen, was a holy place. And in it, the priest could go, but only the lower priest. You had your higher priest, which was Eli. He's the only one to go into the next chamber. But anyway, you had three pieces of furniture there. You had a lamp. You had a table of showbread. You had the altar of incense. Amen. The lamp had to be lit 24 hours a day. The priest had to keep that lamp lit all the time. See, Christ, he is the light of the world. And you know what? He never goes out. The Bible said that light is going to last forever. And the table of showbread, only the priest could eat it. Wasn't Jesus Christ the bread of life? Don't we have to have bread for life? Amen. He was the bread of life. And they had the altar of incense where they had hot coals upon it, and they would sprinkle this incense on it, and it would come up a sweet-smelling vapor. And this, as we offer up our prayers to God in prayer, we have to come to Jesus Christ in prayer of repentance. We have to offer up. Then we offer up ourselves a body, our living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. And then you go into the next chamber, which was only one person went into that one time a year, because that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. Now, all of these things that we've done has been to this place. The high priest, he would take the blood that was offered, that was washed, amen, that had come through the holy place, through the altar of repentance and all that for us. Then he would go into this chamber, and there sit the Ark of the Covenant. And nobody could go in that. Nobody could see that except the priest. Amen. He goes in there and he takes that blood and he sprinkles it upon this ark, because the ark also represented the mercy seat. And he sprinkled that blood upon that ark. Amen. And then Israel, their relationship with God was restored for 1 year. They had to do that every year. But I thank God we have something now that lasts year-round. And it lasted all years, 10 years, 100 years, forever. It was done one time. Jesus said there remaineth no more sacrifice. Or maybe Paul said that. We didn't have to go through that anymore. Amen. That ought to be enough to praise God for. Amen. So we don't have to go through that anymore. Jesus come and he paid it all. Sometimes we wonder, well, how come things got to be a mess anyway? How come all these things come on us? Well, they did. You know what we want to do? We want a God of our own mind. But God is God. God never changes. And we change from day to day. But we have a God that never changes. He remains in the same place forever. And we know right where to find him. Amen. But our lesson today, if I ever get into it, there's so much to talk about with this. Leadership and God's blessings. And we read here how that David tried to move this ark. And David was displeased with God whenever he slew Uzzah. Now, those two boys was the sons of the priest, Abinadab. and they was helping move the ark. Isn't it something that this tabernacle has been around for 369 years, yet they don't know how to move the ark? This thing of Jesus Christ has been around for 2,000 years, and we still don't know how to come to him. Did you know there's 1,200 different denominations in the world? Or in the United States? They said there may be more. Don't that tell you what you ought to do? That tells you ought to get into the Bible and see what it really says. Because here's the bread of life. Here's where you're going to find salvation. You're not going to find it from me. You're not going to find it from anybody else that gets up here. You're going to find it in the words of God. And I better be quiet or I'll never get to it. But anyway, let's get going. Our key verse today is found in 1 Chronicles 13 and 14. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Now what happened here when David had tried to move this ark and he moved it the wrong way? You know, the Bible says David was displeased, but it also said David was afraid. He was scared. He was afraid. The people said, no, you don't got to fear God today. I'll tell you what, the beginning of wisdom is fear. And if you don't fear, you won't move. And David, he feared God. So what did he do? He set the ark into the house of Obed-Edom. He set it there. They were Levites there. They took care of it. And God blessed that house. And they took care of the ark. And David went about to find out what he did wrong. You know, if we're not moving according to the way God's plan goes, we better be afraid. And we had better move according to God and his plan. But David was afraid. And he found out the right way to move this ark. So he got all the Levites together. He went and got the Levites. He found out the right way. He got the Levites together. And God gave the Levites knowledge on how to move this ark. Now, it's a wonder that how, after all these years, and it was so simple, how come they didn't get it? You know what man is? He's so full of pride, he thinks he's smart enough to take care of himself. I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. We think we're so smart. But you know what? God's ways are higher than our ways, even that the heavens are from the earth. You know what? You can't find God until you find out you ain't nothing. That's the way we have to come to God in penitence. We find out we need God. That's the only way you can come to him. Get moving here. So we have to consider God's his goodness and his severity. Excuse me. We have to take his goodness and his severity. Most of the time, we just want the goodness of God. Everybody talks about the goodness of God. Everybody talks about love. They've come to the point where they've lost their fear. And when you lose your fear, you won't have your focus on the things that God wants you to do. You'll just go about your business. Romans 11 and 22, read it. Read it. Now this is new. Amen. This is the New Testament. We are still to, amen, consider God for his goodness and his severity. We can't get high-minded. You know what you do when you get high-minded? You think you can go any direction that you want to. But God has set down a way for us to go. Now laws, nobody likes laws. You know why they don't like laws? Because it has a judgment. They like laws until they get caught. It's like having stop signs. Can you imagine a world without stop signs or red lights? It would be chaos, wouldn't it? What if they just put up stop signs and red lights and they said, well, you know, you can stop if you want to, but if you don't want to, that's all right. You know, we don't want to get anybody upset. So you stop if you want to. what kind of chaos would that be? It would be chaos. God gave man laws. Now, he gave the ceremonial laws for salvation, but he gave laws also for us to live by. And we have to find out, but the thing I want to get on today, I don't want to get off of it, is salvation. Amen, salvation. Many people, they'll start, well, I would get saved, but I don't want to live that kind of life, you know. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to do what the Bible says, repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and let God do the rest. Let God work in your heart once he gets in there. You've got to get him into your heart before he can do a work. Amen. There's an old saying, or it may be a law, I don't know. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Ignorance of the things of God is no excuse either. We've had them. But back in those days, they had the tabernacle 369 years. It was in captivity for 7 months when they invaded Israel, and they took the ark out, and they run right over them. How could that be possible? They had the Ark of Covenant. How could they run over them? They moved it the wrong way. I believe they took it out there on the shoulders of the Levites too. But God didn't say move it. You know when God's going to add to or take away from this word? When he wants to. But we've got to go according to it, because he said, you go this way. And that's the way we go. And then David, he built a tent for it. He tried to bring it the wrong way. But when he got it all right, then it became the tabernacle of David, because the old tabernacle was destroyed. God didn't say much about that old tabernacle. You know what he said about it? He said that Ark of the Covenant. That's where everything points to. Amen. We want to talk about the big church we got, the big building, the fine pews we got, and all these things. And all God wants you to look to is Jesus Christ. But then the tabernacle of David, they put it in there, and it was called the tabernacle of David after that, and it was there 57 years. So from Eli to David, and then to Solomon. Solomon built the final temple. And even in his temple, everything pointed toward the Ark of the Covenant. You know what? That was a fancy, beautiful, beautiful building. There's never been one like it. But you know what? It was nothing if it didn't have the Ark of the Covenant and God's presence in it. And God's presence got in it when they started obeying God and doing it God's way. And I'm talking about salvation here. When I get up here, if you're not saved, I don't know. I'm talking to saved people. That's who I'm talking to. Because I'm saved. Because I've been repented, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, you've done. That's all I need to know. I'm going to give you God's word. In Chronicles 15:1, and David made a house in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched it a tent. And they called that the tabernacle of David. That ark was 369 years. And one priest, Eli, and two sons brought it all to an end. You know what that ark was? It was a key that unlocked the doors. Amen, that Israel could have fellowship with God. Without it, they had no fellowship. No man did. We was all under Adam, all under the curse of Adam and Eve. But that ark was a key. You kind of keep the key in your mind if you can here. Now the ark, when they moved it, it was to be covered. No one was to see it. No one was to touch it. Isn't that a type of faith? How do I know they got that ark under there? They might have something else. Because the word of God and obeying the word of God and how we believe, we know they covered that ark and it was there. And that's how you believe in Jesus Christ today. You don't see him. If you see him, it's not faith. But that was a type of Christ. They was not to see it, not to touch it. But yet they had to obey it. Let's get to Matthew 16 through 19. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He said, I believe that you are the Son of God. And he said, flesh and blood has not shown that to you, Peter. Amen. But the Spirit has showed that to him. Amen. And Peter believed the things that was important to God. Now, because of this, in verse 16 and 19, we read the kingdom, keys to the kingdom. And I will give thee keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What's the first thing you do when you walk up to your door, if you lock it? If you don't, well, but anyway, if you got a key, the first thing you do is open that door. My goodness. You open that door. Loose and bind. A lot of times we look at that scripture, whatsoever is loose on earth shall be loose in heaven, whatsoever they're bound upon earth shall be bound in heaven. I'll give you what I'm certain it is. If it is, I wouldn't be teaching it. Loose and bind was commonly used among the Jewish people in relations to authority of the rabbis to forbid and permit certain practices. Some places say, I just want to go to the gospel. Well, look, he gave him the keys to the kingdom, and then he said, you can tell what shouldn't be done and what should be done. That's where we get the rest of the Bible from. This word is the inspired word of God all the way through. Amen. It said, whatsoever you loose on heaven, on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Not only did he get the keys, but he got the same inspiration the rest of this book did. Him and the rest of the apostles, because we build upon the foundation of the apostles. You know, I'm glad that God said something in Jeremiah one time that became my favorite scripture. Jeremiah 29 and 11. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, and the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. See, in Jeremiah's days, he had already told them they're going into captivity. And wasn't nothing going to change that. No amount of prayer, no nothing. God has already said, this is going to happen. And they went into captivity. But he said, I have you an expected end. And he says, not evil. You know what? I love to read the Old Testament, but I'm glad it's back there. Amen. I like being on this side of it. Amen. I like to read old stories about back in the days, my days, you know, when they picked cotton by hand, when they worked in the fields and they carried their wood and coal in from outside, and all their water was a pump outside, and the outhouse was about 500 feet back the other way for a reason. I like to read about those things, but I'm glad I'm on this side of them. I'm glad I'm on this side, brother. Amen. Somebody called them the good old days. Yes, sir, I love reading about them. But the good old days, I don't know so much about that. I enjoyed them when I was a kid because I had about 5 swimming holes. Wasn't none of them cement. But we did. We had a good time when I was kids, but man, I wouldn't want to go back to that. But look what God brought us out of. Look about all the wars and the fighting and the blood. They say the Old Testament is the bloodiest book in the world. You know why? Because it reveals man's hopelessness. That's the reason when you come to God, and if you really understand the Old Testament, then you'll understand the New. And when you come to God, you understand why joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians 2:20. For you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ, himself being the chief cornerstone. You know that cornerstone we talk about in ancient days, what they would do when they set this chief cornerstone, all the measurements would come off of that. Everything else that was laid, all the measurements would come off of that. Everything that we do in word or deed, we do in Jesus Christ and him crucified. So Peter, when he came into the ark, what was the first work that Peter did? The first work that Peter did when he came, after the Holy Ghost was poured out on the 120 on the day of Pentecost, at his first meeting, he began to expound to the people of Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ and how they had crucified Christ. And then one man, there was a lot of many people pricked in their heart, but one man said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" How do I get that door open? Amen. Remember, Peter's got the keys. Amen. So what did Peter say to him in Acts 2:38? Repent, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Right there, did you hear the click? Right there, the door was open. When I started studying on this lesson, when things were starting to open up, and I seen Matthew 16:19 fully, seemed like for the first time, how that Peter was given the keys to the kingdom of God. And there was one place. What opened the door for you? What opened the door for me? Repentance. Baptism in Jesus' name. That's my part. You know what really opened the doors? When he filled you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. When his spirit began to dwell in you, because then you become the temple of God. And I was sitting there thinking about, when I was reading that, I said, man. I said, if I hadn't done that yet, I'd be running to an altar somewhere. Because there you walk in. There God has restored your relationship with him. This is the second covenant. This is the new covenant. The one that fulfilled the other. It didn't destroy it. It fulfilled it. You go back, you look at that, everything. Just look at it. Everything points to Christ and how hopeless they was without a Savior. They had a restored relationship that lasted for a year and had to be tucked up every year. But it couldn't last because for 20 years they didn't have a tabernacle until David built a tent. So what was he doing then? But you know, we don't have to build no tent. Amen. It's right here. How long? Forever. When God says forever, everlasting. Now I can say forever to you. You might think I'm exaggerating. But when God says it, brother, it means just what it says. Everlasting, forever. It has no end. You know why? Because it had no beginning. God has no beginning. He's the only one that can say he had eternal life because he's always had it. Amen. But it was a gift to us from him. My time's up. But how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews 2:3 tells you that. You know, I could have went through some real gory scriptures to get to where I got to today. But you know, if David was displeased, I'm afraid I might make you displeased. So they used David a lot. I could take you back where you say, well, they slew 50,000 of them. But I think we got the point. Jesus Christ is the only way. And when he opened those doors at Acts 2 and 38, that's the first place that you can see where God told you how to be saved. That's the first place. You know why? Because when you walk into your house, you got to unlock the door. So God gave them that. And we build upon the foundation of the apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Hey, man, if you do that, there's 1,200. If you ain't satisfied with that, well, there's 1,200 more out there you can go to. But you know what I'd do? I'd look in and see what the Bible had to say about it. And you know what I'd do first? I'd do that. And then the old devil would come and say, well, what about all those other people? They were good people. They sure are. You think David didn't have the right heart when he was moving that ark? You think his heart wasn't in the right place? You know, when they sent that ark back on a cart with two milk cows pulling it, it was unnatural because they had to leave their cows in order to pull it. Hey, man, when they turned that over to Israel, they went there and received it with joy. You think their heart wasn't in the right place? But those Levites got that cart down off of that cart, got that ark off of that cart. And what did they do? They opened up the lid and looked in it when they wasn't even supposed to touch it. See, we can't touch God. See, we got all of our five senses, I don't know, smell, see, touch, hear, and smell. That's all I know. If you want to tell me something, show it to me. I'm from Missouri. You show me first. Let me touch it. Let me taste it. Let me smell it. Then we'll talk about what you got. But all that always goes, oh, well, you don't see it. Can't feel it. Well, you can. Because the air you breathe, you know what that is? That's God. But our five senses, we go our way. So I'm going to be quiet, but anyway, we have about 10 minutes that at this time we just use for prayer, and you need to go to the bathroom, go down, or get a drink of water, and then we have our worship service at 11 o'clock. And you don't want to miss that, because we have a pastor that can really preach it. Amen. And I believe God blessed us, and I've determined in my heart to do nothing but help him. If he does it wrong, I know what the Bible says. God will take care of that. God bless you. Let's all pray, or if you go to the bathroom or water, but 10 minutes we'll be starting the main service.